And welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're so happy to have you on board. And we love to hear from you. Best way to do that is go to naturalnurse.com. And once you're there, there's lots of tags on the top. A good tag to visit is calendar, because on the calendar, we have all our up-and-coming classes, and we have several up-and-coming online classes. We even have one today about hemp, cannabinoids, and all that it's about, how to figure out the best ones that you might use, which ones are on the market legally, illegally, what's the difference between endocannabinoids and exocannabinoids and phytocannabinoids, all those terms that are flying around the internet. Truthfully, since I'm so involved in regulatory, there are some excellent, both hemp, full spectrum, THC, CBD, CBA, CBN, all kinds of products available. What does all that mean? You can learn for free tonight. There's over 500 people already signed up. If you go to naturalnurse.com and look at calendar, you will see where you can sign up. And that class happens to be 100% free. And we have lots of other classes coming up, many of which have three CE units for nurses, nurse practitioners, registered dietitians, licensed massage therapists, and you actually get three CEUs towards your continuing education credits. So go to naturalnurse.com calendar and you can sign up. Tonight's class is being sponsored by the American Herbalist Guild. And I do a lot with the American Herbalist Guild. I am on the council of the American Herbalist Guild, and I am also a mentor. What mentors at the American Herbalist Guild do is instruct individuals on how to become a registered herbalist. If you want to be, you feel like professionally you'd like to be called an herbalist, that is really one of the best recognized certifications. It's called RH, Registered Herbalist. And I highly suggest if you want to be considered an herbalist, you consider becoming a registered herbalist. It's really very, very comprehensive, peer-reviewed, and recognized. So those are some of the things we're involved with. So you can just go to naturalnurse.com and find out more. Today's show, we also have a full radio show archive, and this show is on Progressive Radio Network that you're listening to today. And you can find hundreds, many hundreds of archives of our shows, which are totally free to download, to listen to, you know, all kinds of whatever you do, embed them and link to them and et cetera. So let me introduce our guest for today. Today's guest is Faye Mundo Johnstone, and she is the author of Plant Spirit Reiki, which we're going to be talking about. Faye combines 20 years of Reiki practice with herbal and shamanic training to connect us with the subtle whispers of nature for personal transformation. Following a beautiful awakening to the spirit of plants while she was running a flower farm in Nova Scotia, Faye was inspired to write her first book, which is called Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, Transform Your Life with the Spirit of Plants. And she now offers training and online courses in Reiki, Plant Spirit Connection, and Shamanism online from her home in Scotland. Faye is also the founder of Plant Spirit Reiki, a therapy that connects Reiki healing to the power of plants. As detailed in her new book that we're going to be talking about today, Plant Spirit Reiki. It's Faye's vision to help people find their unique way to connect with the natural world and to come into alignment with their true nature. Faye, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It's really great to be able to spread the love about the plant world with you.
So much so. And I'm so happy that we were successful all the way from Scotland. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Well, actually, I'm really grateful for the technology and how it's been connecting us all over the world. I mean, we kind of always knew it did, but we've really relied on it in these recent times, haven't we? So, I pray to the technology gods every time.
I love the way you say that. And we're going to be talking about plants. And you have an Instagram account, Plants That Speak, and your website, FayeJohnstone.com, where you have a lot of beautiful things, as well as a link to your Instagram and your Facebook and your YouTube channel, where you share so much of this. But as a spiritual healer and someone who's been in depth studying spiritual discussions for so many decades, and a leader in the field and an author, I just want to ask you something. You may not have an answer to this, but for the many years that I've been involved in this kind of discussion of spirituality and levels of existence, way back when, last night I went to a women's drumming circle, and we actually brought in the discussion of plant communication, and we brought in a plant communication experience, which was beautiful. But one question that came up is, I'm wondering if you have ever come across in your many years of delving into spiritual discussions, the fact that there might be a point in history where there's such a schism in different levels of belief that there actually is a schism in reality, and that some people are existing on one plane of reality while other people are actually existing on a different plane of reality. Have you ever heard of or thought about that concept?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm totally there with you, actually. The reason I say, yep, I'm there is because actually we all create our own reality. We are the creators of our own reality. When something happens to us, say there's an event, let's say for an example, there is an event where I've booked a first class ticket to travel and I get there and I've been bumped. So some people might react in a very angry way. Other people might just be like, oh, okay, well, this is obviously how it's meant to be. I might meet somebody interesting in my different seat. I'm obviously not meant to be on this flight today, or whatever. So what happens is the way we react and all our past experiences come together to create our reality. So actually, from that perspective, we're all living through a different lens. We're all living with past conditioning, past experiences, and expectation, and so on, that we put onto ourselves. So I think we are actually all existing in a different reality, because we'll have all experienced this. We'll have all experienced a situation where four people, the same thing happens to four different people at the same time. We're all in the same, the same event happens to us all. Like, say, maybe it's an accident, or maybe it's a funny kind of happening. And the four people will tell it completely differently, because they will see that their version of reality through their own lens. And I don't necessarily think this is quite what you were alluding to, but for me, I think I always teach that we're the creators of our own reality. And if you're not holding in your heart a vision for the amazing life and the amazing world that you want to be living on, then it's not going to happen for you. You know, we really do need to hold a vision for a world in which we are, well, the world that we want to live in. And I know the world I want to live in is a world that we have a sensitivity towards the earth, that we are really feeling connected to our home and each other, and therefore taking care of the planet that takes care of us, and so on. So there's my answer to your really complex question. But I think also another element, that another way of looking at your question is to, you know, are there some people whose reality is about kind of connecting to plants and being on that level, and other people whose reality is that doesn't exist for them? I mean, yes, we're all living in the level of reality in a sense that we're ready for. And part of my work, in my shamanistic work, is to really hold that pattern of wholeness, There isn't a right way. There isn't a wrong way. There is just a different way. All these different ways of experiencing the world help make up this kind of beautiful multiverse that we're in. And that's the beauty of our experience here on Earth, is to actually, for it to all be slightly different, I think.
That's a beautiful answer. And certainly, you know, one of the struggles that I personally have, and that came up in that women's drumming, it was a full moon, I mean, a new moon last night. Mm. And, you know, we were having the monthly new moon drumming, which is a time to actually sort of cement plans, intentions, plant seeds, and that's what we always do. So one part of that discussion was, for instance, you are so involved with plants, as am I, as an herbalist, and we know they communicate. We can hear them loudly. Now, when there are things, and let's say that goes into more of a gross reality, where laws are passed to where, for instance, we can go into areas like let's say Alaska, and perhaps in Scotland there are similar areas that have been protected, and now we can go in there. When I say we, I mean through government programs, go in and rip up plants and rip up environmentally protected areas where very rare plants live, as well as animals. And is it a reality, or is it just a woo-woo thought, that so many species are actually being devastated and are becoming extinct linked to these actions?
Well, are you referring to people actually doing this? I mean, yes, I don't think it's, well, I think there's a lot of evidence, isn't there, that we are, the actions of the human are devastating the world and are, you know, you think of, I mean, further from home, obviously, we're all familiar with the Amazon and that rich, you know, it's so rich and diverse in incredible plant life, not just plant life, but the animals and the creatures that there and are interlinked with the ecosystem there. And there's a lot of amazing, incredible medicinal plants there that we see are being destroyed for our other purposes. So I think that is something that is happening. That is something that we're doing because we've become quite disconnected from the natural world around us. But I think that it might be a reality at the moment, and we can look at figures for the environmental impact and so on that's happening to our environment. But what we can work towards is holding the vision that actually we can shift that. If it's important to us to look after the earth, if we want to help and maintain the variety of medicinal plants and endemic species and so on, humans are amazingly creative. We are incredible. The potential that we have to invent machines, to invent incredible theories, to create story, to bring communities together, to raise funds. You know, we're an amazing species. So I kind of hold the faith that humans can actually solve whatever environmental crisis we've created for ourselves. I totally believe that we can shift it. So yes, it might be a reality, but I also feel that the other side of the reality is that we can totally shift this. We have the powers, if you like, to do that.
That's very reassuring, but certainly it may take a refocusing of intention. So let's go into your backstory, because obviously you have thought about all these things and practiced them as part of your personal self and as well as your teachings in the world for so long. So how did you start connecting with nature and realize that plants are, you know, everybody can realize this. When you walk out your door, let's say to go to work in the old days when we used to all go to work, you walk past a particular plant. It's not just a tree or a bush or even grass. It is living individuals with a consciousness. which is very different. And that's my experience. What first, you know, got you to connecting to individualness and the communicative powers of our plants?
Great question. So I just want to state to listeners that I feel like I didn't grow up being always this amazingly connected person with nature. I didn't have like elders teaching me this at all. Though having said that, I did have my father and my grandfather who were real gardeners. It's kind of in my family, and I was always in the vegetable garden with my father growing up and playing outside. And then, you know, when I grew into my adult life, I wasn't interested in nature anymore. I was interested in bars and guys and going out and making a success for myself. And I didn't think that nature had a part in that. So I grew very disconnected from the natural world, and I moved to the city and, you know, started doing the whole go to work, be in an office, and so on. And I actually had a reality check. I had one of those total moments where, I mean, some people might call it the dark night of the soul. It wasn't totally dark for me, but it was a realization that I was incredibly miserable. I was incredibly unhappy. I was incredibly miserable. And it was nature, it was the plants that kind of came into my life and totally saved me. They kind of brought the me back. And so I ended up shifting completely from having been working in a city. I suddenly found myself in a small town where I was growing my own vegetables. I was foraging for medicines. I started, you know, a correspondence course learning about herbal medicines. I started kind of embracing the hedge witch that I realized actually my heart was longing to be. And that was the point when I suddenly was like, ah, this is actually what makes my soul sing. This is what lights me up. This is the me that wants to come out and play with this wildness, with this nature around me. And that was when I started to know plants, and I started to see them with fresh eyes. I started to see that new perspective that you're talking about there. You know, you're realizing actually the tree I walk past every day, you know, you start realizing, oh, it's an oak tree. And, you know, you start really observing with your senses, and you realize that this tree kind of has a personality. And so that was the point for me. So it took me a while, because I was, you know, I was off in what I thought was the version of success that life, you know, was supposed to be. And it took that kind of realization of how unhappy I was to bring me to my senses. And I came to my senses through being out in nature, getting my hands dirty, growing my own vegetables. And then all of that, you know, led me on this beautiful journey to go and run a flower and herb farm in Nova Scotia. And that was obviously a complete baptism of fire in terms of connecting with plants.
It must have been a beautiful place. A lot of work.
A lot of work. I mean, anyone here who's tried to grow any plants, whether it's on your balcony, your window box, or a vegetable garden, you'll know it's always hard work, because plants, even though they don't say a thing, they don't seem to be as visually or verbally demanding as animals are, or, you know, your dog or your cat, they still need so much care and attention. So any type of growing vegetables or flowers, fruits, it takes an absolute shift of perspective and looking at these plants as, I mean, that for me, when we had the farm, these plants were like my children, because we grew them from such tiny seed, and we were with these plants every day looking after them. And you can imagine what type of relationship you get from being there with somebody, for you're seeing them every day, every stage of their growth. So they, from that sense, they kind of were like our children. We were watching them and taking care of them. And that was where I think really that plant connection comes in. That relationship that you form with the plant really helps you develop the friendship, the understanding, and that the ability to communicate and to really hear and listen and tune in to the plants and what they're saying, and the whispers that they have that connect with your heart or your body or your emotions or however they're communicating to you. So that was, it was when we were running the farm that I realized, wow, I'm really feeling these plants here. There's something going on here that I wasn't really prepared for. You know, we hear about, you know, this, you know, British people are known for our gardens, you know, historically. And there's this kind of, you know, anecdotal, you know, of the gardener who talks to the plants and who they talk to their roses and their roses are blooming, you know. But I really was feeling that. I was really feeling, yeah, that this kind of works, connecting with the plants. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. That's a nice start on understanding your deep connection to plants. Now let's talk about the other part of your book, Plant Spirit Reiki, or Reiki, I don't know how you pronounce it, but please share your path also in that venue.
So I'm celebrating 20 years of practicing Reiki this November, which is just so exciting. It was a path that I feel like I was led to by friends, and I became attuned to Reiki. So that's an energy healing practice that originates from Japan. And really through the practice of Reiki, it really has opened, obviously, it opened up my sensitivity to energy, to connecting with guides, to... and also to connecting with my intuition. And I think this was really quite key to the way that I began to work with plants into the Reiki space. Because what I found Reiki does, you know, when we refer to Reiki, often we talk about it in terms of how we can use it as a healing modality to help others. And we talk about it bringing stimulating a client's ability to heal. So it stimulates our own ability to heal by bringing in this high vibrational energy, which will shift stagnant energy, which will move patterns of energy that aren't optimum into being, you know, the way they need to be for you to function optimally. And what I found Reiki was actually doing for me is it was really tuning in with my heart. And you probably know this too, and just to explain to your readers, when you want to communicate with plants, I feel that plant communication is really a pathway that you communicate with your heart. It's very much the vibration of gratitude and appreciation and joy is that vibration that connects with plants. So when I'm talking to plants and connecting with plants, I'm using my heart space. I'm in the heart space and I'm feeling my way. And what I found was that my path with Reiki also led me to really be in this compassionate space in my heart. So really tuning in and opening all the intuitive senses. And so for me, the plants and the Reiki seem to combine really effortlessly. And this obviously happened, it kind of first started happening to me when we were running the flower farm, because I had this, you know, array of plants on my doorstep, and I had my treatment space right there, you know, looking out across the field of flowers and herbs. So it was like the plants were waving at me, you know, wanting to come into the treatment space. And so I followed my intuition, and I used to take a walk before a client would come and see me. And it was on these kind of walks where I would just use a walk to kind of tune in and connect with Reiki and tune into the energy of the client before a consultation. That was when I realized those plants were kind of itching to get my attention and to come into the Reiki space. And so I started to bring the plants in little by little, allowing them to simply be present in the space and work their beautiful magic.
Well, that was a great explanation, and we will talk about that further. But we're going to take a little break right now. And when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion with Faye Mundo Johnston, author of Plant Spirit Reiki and other beautiful information, and her website is very rich. You should visit it, fayjohnstone.com. And of course, we'll have a live link on the archive to this show. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as mahuang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are Ephedra sinica, or Chinese mahuang, and Ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on mahuang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, mahuang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of mahuang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, mahuang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Mahuang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, mahuang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using mahuang so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with mahuang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember mahuang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and we love to hear from you. We love to hear constructive criticism, if that's what you have, or supportive comments, or ask your own question. And the best way to get in touch is to go to our website at naturalnurse.com or go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Now, at naturalnurse.com, if you'd like to join in on many classes and teachings, you can look under education, you can look under calendar. Under calendar, there's a lot of group classes listed, and then we have over 200 individual classes that are available for you. So under the group classes, there's actually one today. If any of you are listening that would like to jump right on, we're having one on hemp, CBD, and cannabinoids, what's all the buzz? And that is free. It is offered by the American Herbalist Guild. We have, I think, close to 500 or 600 participants already signed up, but nowadays with the expansion of the availability of us all being together internationally, there's room for you to jump on, and it is no charge. So I would sign up rather quickly since that's going on today. But after that, it will also be available as an archive, so you can get in touch and I can send you the link to that. We also have a myriad of our shows, you know, radio shows, podcasts. Those are all free to listen to. You can also catch them on the website at prn.fm. Our mothership here that we're bringing you this radio show to or from, or is it a podcast now? I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure about the difference of that. I'm too old, so it was really all radio shows before. Nonetheless, we're so happy to have you with us, and we'd love to hear your comments. Today, our guest is Faye Mundo Johnstone. She is the author of the book that we're reviewing today, Plant Spirit Reiki. And also, she has another book, which, because this is her second book, called Plants That Sing. Oh, Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing. Transform Your Life with the Spirit of Plants. So tell us the difference between your two books, Faye.
Sure. So the first one, Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, is really a guide to help people out there start to connect with nature, start to connect with the plants that are around them. So it's full of, so obviously I share my story and how when I was running the flower farm, you know, I started to realize that there was something in this and plants were connecting and communicating with me. But it's really designed to help you wherever you are, whether you live in a city, whether you have your own homestead, it's designed to help you connect with the plants around you, become more aligned with seasons and cycles, feel more anchored and rooted, and start to open up to the beauty of plants that are out there willing and waiting to connect with you. So it's on so many different levels. There are some meditations, there are some more hands-on practical exercises with looking, being out in nature and observing plants and touching plants and opening up the five senses to plants. And then there's some other suggestions for taking this further. So that's the first one, Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing. And then the second book is really for Plant Spirit Reiki, Energy Healing with the Elements of Nature. That book is really focused for people who are practicing as energy healers or Reiki practitioners. And this is designed to inspire Reiki practitioners and energy healers to bring in the power of nature into your Reiki practice and your client treatments, to really bring that. Well, it brings the Reiki practice to a new level by bringing in that the wonderful vital energy of the natural world, really. And again, it's kind of working on so many different levels. In fact, in Plant Spirit Reiki, what I identify is three different kind of ways in which we can use this approach. And so I'll just go into those now very briefly so you get an understanding. Because yes, when people think about plants and Reiki, okay, because we think of Reiki as being this hands-on healing modality, people think, oh, you're just giving Reiki to the plants in your garden or at home. And it's like, well, yeah, that is one aspect. There is one thing that we can do when we're working with Reiki and plants is we can give Reiki to the plants and the green spaces where we live. Because actually what this does is it not only helps maybe makes our gardens grow in a more beautiful fashion or more abundantly, but it also helps to raise the vibrations of where we live. And this is really key because I bet near where you live, everybody has a green space near where they live that is really down at heel, a park, you know, that kind of park that nobody wants to go through because it's covered in trash, it's full of litter, it's not very well looked after, it maybe is full of undesirable people who you don't want to meet in a dark alley, things like that. And so those green spaces, they really need our love and our attention to help raise that vibration, because as soon as we can bring in high vibration of love and compassion to these green spaces, either through our companion plants at home or through sending Reiki and giving healing to our green spaces or the green spaces kind of on our back doorstep or green community spaces. This really does help shift the vibration and heal our communities. So that is one that is one of these three aspects of plant spirit Reiki. The second aspect of plant spirit Reiki is really about you on a personal level with your personal kind of journey, your personal growth, and coming into alignment with your own true nature through the self-healing practice. And one of the foundations of Reiki, really, this practice of Reiki is, you know, really that motto of kind of healing oneself and practicing on oneself before we're really treating clients. We have to kind of create an environment in which we're compassionate towards ourselves and we're looking at our own healing journey. So that's really the second aspect, is working with plants and in this lovely kind of partnership to open up, to bring us more into alignment with the truth of who we are. And I really believe, and I talk about this in both books, is that when we are working with plants, when we are connecting with plants, we come into alignment with the truth of who we are. And that's because, you know, the trees, the roses, the flowers, the herbs, they know exactly who they are. They don't dither. They don't dim their light because another flower is in bloom. They are 100% in alignment with what they hear and their purpose here on earth. And I think really when we come into alignment with beautiful, we spend time with the natural world, this has an effect on our vibration too. And we come into alignment more and more with the truth of who we are. So that's the kind of healing element with the plants. And also the third element of plant spirit Reiki is really bringing in intuitive plant healing into the healing space with the client treatments. And this really helps the client open up to the natural world. So, and again, I've talked about it being a heart space journey. So I feel that coupled with the Reiki and the element and the plant connection there, it opens the clients to become more compassionate and connect and feel more connected to the natural world. And this is a really key element of working with plants and nature, is that it really helps us to heal these feelings of separation that we have. And what I see with some of my clients is much of this anxiety that we have or depression comes from this sense of disconnection and this feeling that we are alone. And actually, you know, we know that's not the case. And when we start to connect with the natural world, when we start to sit with a tree or, you know, have a lovely meditation under a tree or connect with flower essences or even through the scent, through lovely aromatherapy scents, we start to feel an open and feel a connection with the natural world. And when we start to feel more connected to something which is greater than us, we feel more grounded, we have a sense of belonging, and we kind of open up and acknowledge that nourishment that we get from being part of a greater whole. And that is a deeply healing process. And I actually think that this is kind of why, you know, plant medicine at the moment is exploding. And I think it really is in so many ways helping us to heal this disconnect that we have between us and the natural world. And, you know, we for many of us, the natural world just exists outside the window, because, you know, we're so focused on the screen, what's going on in the media, what's going on our phone or our device. We're not really taking a moment to step outside and look at the big screen out there. Look at the trees, look at the landscape, look at the skyline, look at the sunrise, look at the stars in the sky. And that's where that's where we're disconnected. And that's where opening up to the natural world through the heart is a really beautiful healing process that helps on so many levels.
So much so. And because of what's going on in the world today, with the isolation and COVID, which has exploded the amount of information you can get on the screen more than ever before, I've had to initiate a rule for myself, because I am a self-disciplined person and I eat super excellently well and I exercise every single day. So one thing I've actually incorporated is that I'm only allowed, it sounds absurd, but to sit in front of a screen like 50 minutes out of any hour. So I have to get up, and for me, I am surrounded by nature. Where I am here in Florida is like a nature preserve. I can look outside and see sometimes 36 species of animals, let alone plants, at any given moment, which is just such a treat. But rather than just look at them through the window, like I'm doing at this moment while we're doing the show, I do take that time to go outside 10 minutes out of every hour. Because it's amazing how a whole 24 hours could go get past and you're totally involved with the screen.
I think that is a great practice, actually. That is really inspirational for everyone listening to be able to do that. Because you're so right, we've become so, like, the fact that we've, many of us have been on lockdown and we haven't been doing our usual get out and commute, we've kind of slowed the pace down. We've become very insular. And I'm very fortunate. I have a dog. And when you have a dog, there's these two little eyes and a fluffy tail that looks at you and says, hey, mommy, you need to get away from the screen. And I'll tell you a story. What is so fascinating is that my dog, if she sees that I have a phone with me on my walk, and sometimes, you know, in the past, I've had my phone with me because I wanted to take a photo of something, or I maybe want to do a quick Facebook Live and where I can share a vista with some, you know, some of my audience. But, you know, my dog, the looks this dog gives me, it's like, no, you need to be fully aware. You need to be, your attention needs to be here. And I think my dog, and I'm sure listeners will agree with this, the dog seems to know that when I have that device with me, I am not fully present.
That's really interesting.
It is, and actually, one of the things I'm gonna speak to this a bit more, because some people, so there is a difference between just going for a walk and then going for a walk in nature and being present. And so what happens for many of us is we think, oh, I'll take a breath outside, just like you're describing, and you know, we're getting outside, and we're like, oh, this is great. But what happens when we do that? Is we instinctively want to check our phones. We might want to start listening to music. So we put the earbuds in, we're going to catch up on a podcast, or we're going to catch up on some music, or listen to an audiobook, and or we're going to check an email or check social media. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves completely engrossed. Our inner world, even though we are outside, we're doing what, you know, we're being good, we've gone outside, we're stretching our legs, we're getting the fresh wind on our face. We're not actually really present in nature. We're actually still with our device. Or what can happen also, and this happens to me sometimes when I'm so in my head because I've been in this on the screen and I've been trying to think something out and this and that, and I'll be in my head probably for about, you know, maybe even 15 minutes when I'm outside. And that's not being fully present in nature either. That's not really opening the senses to what is truly there. And I think it takes time. It's like a, it's kind of like meditation. If you've been having a busy day and you just, and you go, right, I'm going to meditate now. And you sit on your, you know, you sit on your lovely cushion and you maybe put some nice music on. And you're like, right, here I am. I'm meditating. Quick, I'm going to do it in 20 minutes. You know, for most of that time, you're still going to be kind of calming down to find your center. And before you can even start to be present on something like your breath, you know. Yeah, interesting.
That is beautiful. Well, it's time for us to take one more little break here. And we'd love people to visit your website and find out so much more, your classes, your workshops. And, of course, everything's accessible all the way in Scotland these days between Zoom and Skype and all these facilities that you have. And the best place to look for Faye Johnston's work is at her website, FayeJohnston.com, because from there you could get to the Facebook page, the Instagram, and the YouTube channel. So I think that's a good place to go. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with our wonderful guest today. And one of the things we'll talk about, Faye, is some of your favorite specific plants from your, you know, hat of both a plant communicator and an herbalist. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And welcome back once again. Please join us all the time at naturalnurse.com. Send us your whatever feedback you'd like to send. Join us for our many classes, online workshops and trainings, such as we have a whole course called Career Paths in Natural Health. And that can be one-on-one, or it can be an on-demand class, like a pre-recorded class. And that depends on if you'd like to go into exactly your attributes, what you have studied so far, what you are excellent in. Maybe you're a graphic design artist, but you're enjoying our information today about plants and natural medicine and energy medicine and Reiki. And you go, boy, I'd like to actually work in that field, just like our guest shared, that she was more in a corporate world before she moved into these kinds of activities more based on the natural world. Well, guess what? You could even use your graphic art design skills, and you could wind up working for a natural products company where what you're doing is drawing plants or creating graphics about plants and learning about what they do, because that's what their verbiage is about, that's what their ads are about. So although you're using your same skill set without having to go back to school, you're moving into your creation of the world around you, all being involved in natural and, you know, the natural focus. So that's something we could talk about if you're interested. And today our guest is Faye Mundo Johnson, author of Plant Spirit Reiki.
Hi, it's my pleasure. I'm having a great time.
Now let's talk about, you know, specific plants. What are some of your favorite plants, and how do you use them in your healing practice for yourself and, of course, for your clients?
Interestingly, I've been thinking about this, and it's like all the plants are going, pick me, talk about me, you must talk about me. And it's like asking a mum, isn't it? Who's your favorite child? Very hard to pick some. So the one thing I'm definitely going to say is that I like to keep things very simple. I have got much less exotic as I get more into my kind of practice. I really believe that those herbs and plants that are kind of local to where you live hold the vitality and the energy that you need to work with. So, for example, for me, I really love the culinary aromatic plants. So rosemary, sage, thyme, lemon balm, mints. You know, these kind of plants for me just absolutely, not only do they make beautiful herbal teas, which are one of the easiest ways in which we can connect with plants, but I love the aromatics and this, you know, working with clients, just having either obviously the plant itself, you could have the essential oils of these plants, but they just bring that, the fragrance that they bring in is really a beautiful way to kind of bridge that gap, to connect with the plant, whether it's for you or for a client. And rosemary, for example, so I like to burn herbs as well to kind of cleanse my space and bring in the plant. So I might burn some garden sage, some rosemary, some lavender, some mugwort, for example. Mugwort's a really beautiful, powerful herb. You know, she grows in the ditches around here, so it's so easy to gather and so beautiful to have an abundance of something which is local. So things like that, and also so lavender and rose have to be two of the flowers which just sing to my heart and are for me just all around healing on so many levels. So, you know, they're relaxing, they connect with the heart. And again, they smell so great. So what we have a Rosa rugosa bush right outside this, our front gate. And it is the most exciting, beautiful, when I see those rose buds forming at the early summer, I'm rejoicing. And so is my partner too, because he loves it too. And so we can gather the petals, and I actually gather the petals, and I will always dry some. So I have some rose petals dried that I can add to foot baths or to my bath or even to my teas. But what I mainly do is I also make an infused oil. So it ends up being very, very lightly scented. But this beautiful oil I can add to any cosmetic products that I'm making for myself, or a massage oil. If I use, you know, I usually use sweet almond oil for this particular when I'm working with rose petals. And it just ends up with this light fragrance of rose. And it's just so nurturing for me on so many levels. So I really, that's one of the plants which whenever I see it, it just lights me up. And I can spend hours with that plant because it's so beautiful. And it's the same with lavender, actually. I really, really connect with lavender. And it's one of my partner's favorite herbs, too. So he always used to say, oh, we should have had a lavender farm, because I think really it's his favorite flower of all. So... and one of the plants I've been working with this year a lot, and this will surprise you because I live in Scotland, so is a eucalyptus trees. Okay, so I have several eucalyptus trees in the garden, which is unusual. Normally, if you think of Scotland, you might think of Scots pine or oak trees, and I have those too. But the eucalyptus this year has been a real teacher for me. And one thing I would suggest to absolutely everybody listening is, find yourself a tree friend. Trees can be a wonderful ally to start with when we want to connect with plants. And it's because they have such big energy fields. They really feel reassuring to lean against, to hug, to touch, to get to know. And I've been spending a lot of time with eucalyptus trees this year because there's a grove in my garden, and it's where I have been tuning into my Reiki practice. It's where I have been sending my distance healing from. So it's become a sacred grove. And I've even taken my laptop in there. And through Zoom, I have been holding healing space for clients from that grove of eucalyptus. So eucalyptus has become this ally for me.
And now wait a minute. I actually am surprised because you're telling me it grows in Scotland, because that's the plant that is most often eaten by koala bears.
I know. I think it's a very resilient plant, which is why it grows here. And maybe that has been one of its messages for me this year in terms of resilience and holding space. And what is lovely, many of us will know about eucalyptus, is the leaves smell incredible. And so now we're coming into the winter months. I can bring the outside in. I don't want to be in my garden so much. You know, it's raining all the time here and it's getting cool, but I can bring the leaves in. So I've got that aromatic quality of the eucalyptus that I can have with me, and I can have it. I have a sacred plant space in my room. It's like an altar space where I put seasonal plants or the plants that I work with. So bundles of plants, maybe sprigs of rosemary and things like that, and lavender, or maybe the rose petals I was talking about. But also I can bring these eucalyptus leaves in. So not only can I have the scent, and obviously we can use that aromatherapy oils for that too. And that's really decongestion, you know, so it's great at this time of year, but really I can connect with the plant in that way by having the leaves with me. And what I do when I say I can connect with the plant, what I mean is I'm finding that place in my heart. And I'm searching for that feeling that I get when I'm with that plant. And that is how I'm connecting. And I do speak to plants a lot through prayer, because I feel that there's a beautiful healing element that comes with prayer. And, you know, it never hurts, does it, to invite a plant into your space, to invite a plant in to be with you through prayer. I think that's a very gentle practice to start working with us too. So those are some plants. I could go on. I have an endless list of plants that I love.
Isn't it? But in your book, and even your new book, Plant Spirit Reiki, you talk a lot of how people can use some of these plants and Reiki techniques, simple ones, even if they're not a Reiki practitioner, for self-care.
Yeah, so the tree practice is a really wonderful practice. So finding yourself a tree ally, a tree that you can talk to, tell your worries to, hug, and also bringing the outside in. So tuning in, like if you're feeling down, one of the things I love to do is to take myself on a walk, notice which plant notice which plant it seems to be calling to me. And this is a lovely practice that you can do for a friend if you've got a friend on your mind who you know is unwell, and you think, you know what, I think maybe flowers would cheer them up, or a plant, or a flower essence. Then, you know, ask to be guided when you're in the store. Walk around noticing which seems to draw you in. I really teach people to be intuitively guided by the plants themselves. We don't choose the plants, they choose us.
Well, and that we do is that wonderful. That is wonderful, wonderful sharing. And we're actually out of time, but thank you so much for being our guest today. Faye Mundo Johnston, you can find her at Faye John, J-O-H-N, Stone, S-T-O-N-E, .com. You have to get into gemstone healing as well with a name like that, and you probably are already. But listeners, thank you so much for joining us today once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, inviting you to join us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And until then, we're hoping that you stay healthy.